Can we stand together for a moment? As I was just, wow, what a beautiful time. Folks, what a time around the table. Amen. The presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit is just, for me, Pastor Larry, I could have just sat there today. Anybody feel the same way? Yeah, but as I was receiving communion, I felt the Lord wanted me to say this. Somebody asked me this the other day. And they said, what happens when we give our lives to Jesus? And then after that, we sin. Are we unholy? What do you think I said? I said, of course not. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. Now, I just feel that some folks today are struggling with their conscience, because the Lord, the Spirit, when we do go against the will of God as believers, it wounds our conscience. There's a struggle with our fellowship with God. But we are not out of the family of God. Can we say amen? Because if that were the case, none of us here are worthy. Amen? You know, before you take the plank out of, or the speck out of a brother's eye, you best take the plank out of your own eye. Amen, church? We're worthy today. But if you have a besetting sin, something you're just struggling with, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5, when he preached or taught us about grace, he goes on into Romans 6 and he says, shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So as we're growing in Christ, our wills begin to change. Our lives begin to change. Sanctification, meaning being set apart and made holy, is instant when we come to Christ, and it's progressive. We're being made in the image of Christ, and I declare to you today, all of us, we're being made in the image of Jesus. Can you say amen? Isn't that wonderful? The grace of God. And so if you've got guilt right now, get rid of it. Confess it. God knows. Can't hide it. He knows. Get rid of it. Just say, Father, here I am. We're children of God. So Lord, bless the church. We've had such an amazing day already this morning. Wow, your presence, Lord, what you're doing in our lives. Bless the church, the people. Help me to preach the word of truth today. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help us to learn how the kingdom of God works. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm receiving all of the blessings of the kingdom. Amen? Tell that to someone. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to walk through a number of verses today, and we're going to have them up on the screen, but I really encourage you to turn in your Bibles also, Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. Last week, started a series on the kingdom of God. Pastor Larry's going to teach on the kingdom next week, and Lord willing, we're going to have a water baptism service, so that'll be wonderful. And last week, if you were not here, just very briefly, I taught from Mark chapter 4. I taught about the parable that Jesus talked about, I'm feeling hemmed in this morning, so I just need to move these. Parable where Jesus talks about the soils, and the soils represent our heart, or the heart of mankind. The first soil was hardness of heart. The second soil was a shallow heart. The third soil was a crowded heart. All these different things of life came in, and the seed, the word, which is the seed, went into that soil, and the worries of life, it says, the deceitfulness of wealth, other things crowded that word out and actually choked it. That was the third soil. The fourth soil is the 30, 60, 100-fold soil, where the word of God goes into that fertile heart. And that person, by the Spirit, it just starts to produce, and it produces a return of 30, 60, and 100-fold. Because a lot of people have said, is there such a thing? And I just say, well, read the word of God. There is such a thing as a 30, 60, 100-fold return. In this instant, Jesus was talking about how the word goes into a heart that is absolutely fertile, and returns amazing results because that person has been so transformed by the word of God. There is such a thing, and this gets people upset, but that's okay. I'm not here to make people upset. I'm here to have you open up your hearts and your minds to the truth that's in the word of God. There is such a thing as a 30, 60, 100-fold also in giving. And we're going to teach through Kingdom Finances in a number of weeks. But that isn't our focus when we give. Our focus when we give is to bless the Lord. Amen? And he's a blesser back. I'm glad all of you agreed with that. When we come and receive offerings, we're blessing the Lord. And then he is a blesser and such a good God. He blesses his people. I want to live, and I declare I am living under the blessing of God. Amen. The kingdom of God, Jesus, in the New Testament anyway, was mentioned, the word kingdom was mentioned over 100 times. I said last week, we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no poverty in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There's none of those things exist in heaven. And we pray thy kingdom come. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet we don't discover what the principles of God's kingdom are. If you're I just saw someone in this church who's a builder, and if you don't know how to lay the right footings, the right foundation to set that house upon and learn how construction works, you're not going to build a very sound house, but you learn how to build that house and you build excellent homes because you understand the principles of construction. Whether you're a doctor, whether you're an accountant, whatever you do in this life, you have to operate and learn how those systems work. For us as believers, Jesus taught us about the kingdom of God, and yes, it's a topic that for me, even in my own life, I really haven't begun to discover this. I think we were doing some of it, but we weren't fully understanding what we were doing until the last little while. We're really going on a journey of understanding kingdom principles because Jesus taught about the kingdom. He said, my Father is pleased, little ones, my Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. And so there was this, you can imagine when they heard that, how maybe for a while they had this confused look, but they kept thinking that it was a kingdom that he was going to come back and physically rule and reign. That day is coming. Jesus will return to this earth one day, and he will rule and he will reign. Who will he reign with? Those of us who accept him now in this life as Savior will rule and reign during the millennial period. I think that's going to be very exciting. What do you think? Yeah, what a time. But right now, in what's called the age of grace, we have a lot of work to do. Do you think the city needs grace? Do you think your neighbor needs to hear the message of grace? Do you think your coworkers need to hear the message of grace? When we give the message of grace, we're giving them the kingdom. We bring the kingdom of God into our workplaces, into stores, into the city, into the coffee shops. Wherever we are, we bring the kingdom of God, because now the kingdom, Jesus said, is within us. It lives and dwells. Sometimes we pray, done this for years, guilty of this. We pray, you know, oh Lord, go with the people. Let me ask you a question. Where is he going to go? He lives in you. You think about that. Oh Lord, go with the people. Where is he going? He lives inside of his people. Come on, say amen to that. He lives in us. What's he going to do? Run away? He lives in us. The kingdom dwells within us. All of the power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Profound. What happened? Why? What happened? The kingdom was lost. Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. It's a very key word, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Next verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You are created in the image of God. There wasn't a different design that God used. He created mankind in his image. Next verse. And God blessed them. God is a blesser. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Anybody here want to increase? I'm not just talking about having kids. Some of you are beyond those years. Oh, there could be an Abraham and Sarah here. Okay, we won't go there. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. That word subdue is very important. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. The King James Version is have dominion. God gave them dominion. He gave them authority over the earth and over every living creature that moves along the ground. God gave man dominion, but we lost it. What happened? And why did he say, subdue it? I thought everything in that part of the world, in the garden, was perfect. I thought it was all perfect. Why did he say, subdue it? Let's go to Genesis 3, 1 to 7. The reason the Father said, subdue it, is because there was a snake on the way, a serpent. Because he had told them they could have everything in the garden except one thing, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And isn't it just like all of us, when somebody says we can't have something, we want it. Anybody like that? Somebody says, you can't have that. I'm going, I want that. He said, there's one thing you can't touch, that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Subdue it, though. Why subdue? Why? Snake coming. Serpent coming. He tried to forewarn them what would take place. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Go ahead, next verse. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. Truthful. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Just ponder that. Just think about it. You will not surely die. Did God really say? Did God really say? Some of you here today, you know the voice of God. You read the Word of God. I hope all of you do. And God has said things to you. And God has spoken to you. And the master trick of Satan is to speak into your thought life. Did God really say that? And doubt and unbelief begin to come into our minds and our hearts. That's why God said, subdue this thing. They had the ability to take authority over that thought. They had the ability to take authority over the serpent, who was Satan, by the way, manifesting as a serpent. They had the ability. That's why God said, subdue it. They were in the kingdom of God in that garden. Look after it. Take care of it. Everything here is for you. Just work it. Just look after it. That's all that meant. Watch verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Not a good thing. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Leave it to the woman. Next, please. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. I'm going to get stoned after church. Okay, go. No, I don't want that verse right now. Can you switch back? Yeah, just hold on here. Right on. Can you put up, verse 7? To 12 quickly? Is there a way to do that? If you can do that, yeah. Doubt comes in. They're in the kingdom of God, okay? And all of a sudden, there's the whisper of a voice from a snake, a serpent, and we got problems. There we go. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. That's not the right verse. That's Galatians. Genesis. There you go. I thought, wow, I haven't read that in Genesis before. I love our guys running media. Come on. Yep. Bless them. Okay. There we go. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig trees together and made, next verse, if we can go to 8, coverings for themselves. The first thing man does is try and cover their guilt. The first thing we do is we always try to cover our guilt and our shame. That's the first thing. We cannot cover our guilt and shame. We celebrated and remembered today a table of the one who doesn't cover guilt and shame. The new covenant is he takes it away. Marvelous. Next verse. Back to 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. Next verse. In the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid. Now, this had never happened before because of fear. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Verse 10. He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid. This is where shame and fear came in. And they are the two totally demonic realms that operate so strongly in the world and unfortunately in the church world. Fear and shame. Because we struggle with the fact that once we're in Christ, are we worthy in Christ? And the answer is we're worthy as children of God. I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? I love verse 12. I love verse 12. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Husbands, take note. Blame everything on your wife." Everything. Just do it. And if you live to see tomorrow, you're doing well. That wasn't in my notes. How was the kingdom lost? Sin and disobedience. We lost it. Adam lost it for all of mankind. Lost it. Okay, Luke 4, 5, and 6. Watch this. Who got them? Who got it? Well, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is now on the scene. The Spirit, it says, is leading him, has led him into the desert. The Spirit led him into the desert for 40 days, 40 nights, prayer and fasting. Wow, can you imagine? All of a sudden, at the end of it, Satan shows up. Satan will always show up in your weakest moment. He will always be there when you're exhausted, when you're angry, when you're, you know, walking somewhat out of fellowship with people or with him, with God, and he waits for an opportune time. So verse 4. Okay, this is after the one temptation where Satan, he's hungry, right? So Jesus says, or Satan says, "Turn the stones into bread." Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant, watch this, all the kingdoms of the world. There's a plural there, and that word is kingdoms of the world. Next verse. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." He got the kingdom and he turned them into kingdoms, because the way Satan works is to divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And his methods are the exact same today, and they're happening in people's lives. It's happening in families. It's happening in marriages. It's happening everywhere. Divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer, because he loves kingdoms. And he got them, or the kingdom, when man fell, when Adam and Eve fell, we lost the kingdom of God. But there's a man on the scene who shows up as a child. His name is Jesus, and he came to restore the kingdom of God back to mankind. And he did it via his blood, he did it via the stripes on his back, and he did it via the resurrection of his body. And that Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in the church today, if you know Jesus Christ. And the kingdom has been restored back to you and I. You think about that. We are not weak people. Greatness is in your heart. Greatness is in your mind. The kingdom of God is in you. And the Father was pleased to give mankind back the kingdom. But there was a horrific price paid. Jesus. Jesus. That last song you sang, the choir. Jesus. Did you hear those words? Jesus. Jesus. He's the master of the kingdom. And he gave it to you and I. And Jesus said, "When you come to me, the kingdom of God is within you." Personally, I'm going to speak for myself, but you'll get what I'm saying here. I have settled for far less than what God is willing to give me. But I'm not settling anymore, because the kingdom of God is within me. And the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is within the church of Jesus Christ. And it's been all restored back to us. Jesus, you and I are preaching well today. Because that's the truth. He's doing a really good job. Let's go to Genesis 3, 16 to 19. What was the result of the fall? Watch this. This is just like, oh, wow. For you ladies who've had a child, I'm sure you've spoke to Eve when you're having your child. To this woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. It was never to be that way. Do you know that? I mean, what would a guy know about that, right? Women, you can say amen to that. That's yeah. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. That scripture actually means that you want to rule over him. Okay, you want to rule over him. That's what that really means. 17. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife, thanks, Adam, and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed, watch this, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. There are key words in that verse that I have never seen before. They leapt off the page the other day. Watch this. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, I had understood toil before, you will eat of it all the days of your life. What was God saying? Adam, there's a punishment for you. All the days of your life, painful toil. What was God saying? I got a new plan. I got a great plan for mankind to get them out of this painful toil. It's Jesus Christ. All the days of Adam's life, he would toil. I think I've got, have I got the next verse up there? Yeah. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Gary Cassie calls this the earth cursed system. Write that down. The earth cursed system. And it came into effect when Adam and Eve gave up dominion over the earth. And it became an earth cursed system. I'm here to proclaim as loud as I can, Jesus, the second Adam, came and he has restored back the kingdom of God to the people who would believe that Jesus is Lord. And the kingdom of God reigns within our lives, within your life, and within our hearts, and it's been restored back to us for such a time as this. Amen. All right, let's go to quickly. I've just got a few minutes. Won't be able to expand on a lot of this, but let's go to Matthew 6, 24 to 34. These are the words of Jesus. And last week we looked at 6:33. We'll look at that quickly again. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. So we're going to start at 24. In most of your Bibles, there's a break. Of course, these were letters. There wasn't those breaks before. So we're going to start in 24 and we're going to go to the end of that portion. And these are the words of Jesus as he's teaching on the kingdom of God. And we're quickly going to see five very powerful principles of the kingdom in these verses. Here's what he says. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Kingdom principle number one, God is our master. We serve God only. Anything with two heads is a freak. It's true. You can't have two leaders. Either it's God, Jesus said, or it's money. Either it's God or it's stuff. Either it's God or this. Whatever you choose to serve, you can't have two masters in the kingdom of God. You can't do it. God, kingdom principle number one, we serve the living God. And the word serve there, all through the New Testament, often is slave. Paul said he was a bondservant, a slave to Christ. That kind of has some negative connotations, but it's not. It means we are grafted in, the scripture says, to what God gave Israel, and we now are under the blessing of Abraham. I'm living under there. Okay, amen. All right, next verse. So kingdom principle number one, you can't have two masters. You got to serve God. Maybe you're here today and you haven't received Jesus. That's your way into the kingdom of God. That's the way to eternal life. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Many came this morning to this church worried. Many of you came worried. Worry consumes people. Worry is here because the battleground now is in the mind. And many came worried about particular situations in your life. There is a difference between worry and concern. Worry will consume you if you allow it to. And what it says is that you're not trusting God, that He's got that situation in His hands. We're not trusting that He's got our best interests. And so Jesus said, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Next verse. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the next verse. Are you not much more valuable than they? Question mark. My wife has this bird feeder in the back of our yard on one of the trees, and she goes back there in the morning with slippers, and I won't say any more, and she's filling this bird feeder, and the place looks like Chicago O'Hare Airport. All of these birds fly in on the tree, and then all of a sudden something spooks them, and off they go, literally like 100 birds, like 100 sparrows. And I said, Becca, what's the big deal? God's going to look after the sparrow. She says, God needs some help. Are you not more important than those sparrows in our backyard? And you're worrying about the provision of God. You're worried? The kingdom works different. The kingdom is within us. Satan's system is you best be worried. Did God really say He'd provide for you? Did He really say? Your life just sucks. You'll never have anything. Your kids, they'll never serve God. I have them. You got a disease. The atonement doesn't work. You're going to die. I'm taking you out. Anybody heard the whispers of the enemy? You best yell back who you are in Christ. And you best learn to take authority. We're looked after. That's called the sparrow principle. They don't sow, they don't reap. God just looks after them. Are sowing and reaping in Scripture, in the kingdom? Oh, yes, they are. They truly are. You know what? I need an usher to do something because I'm going to be 10 more minutes. And would somebody tell Pastor Randy and the kids we're going to be 10 minutes yet? Usher, thank you, Ken. Pastor Ken, thank you. Usher, thank you. That's a sparrow principle. He's looking after us. But you got to operate then, learn the system of the kingdom too, to get yourself out of debt, to understand God's blessings, to understand giving and receiving. We've been taught giving, but we're going to teach you how to receive and to hold on to what God wants to give you. Because I believe, Pastor Larry, when you led us through this beautiful time at the communion table, everything in the kingdom has been provided for us by Christ. Yeah, everything. We're settling. It's time to get stirred up. Don't settle. It's time to get stirred up. Don't settle. Okay? Kingdom principle number two out of this, God is our provider. Next verse. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Wow, the words of the master. Why worry? I mean, like someone I know says, why pray when you can worry? Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. This is a vital point right here. The King James says, they don't toil. Oh my, what does that mean? The toil system's over. Now let me explain. When that system, that earth curse system happened, when Adam gave the kingdom over, God said, you're toiling. You're going to have to just, man, you're going to work. You're going to toil by the sweat of your brow. That's how it's going to work. Jesus came, and at the cross, he took back everything that we lost in the garden. And so people will say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Mark? Should we not work? Oh, just hold on a minute. Work is the blessing of Lord, but just of the Lord, but just a minute. God said, even under the old covenant, I will bless the work of your hands. He says, in fact, he says, I'm going to give you the ability, in Deuteronomy he says this, I'm going to give you the ability to create wealth and so confirm my covenant. Boy, the people who throw stones at pastors who preach about the blessing and the prosperity of God should go back and read the Bible. And just possibly we've understood some things wrong. Open your heart and open your mind to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through the Word of God. See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. They don't toil. Next verse. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Next verse. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Kingdom principle number 3, the toil system was destroyed at the cross. We now work and operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this in love. I was a toiler. I was a toiler. I'm very thankful for how our parents, Mom, Dad, who's with the Lord now, taught us to work. Number one, if you don't have a good work ethic, you need to change. That's good preaching. You need to change. You need to work. You need to put your hand to something. You need to do something. You've got to work. We've got a whole culture today that thinks work is truly a four-letter word. Work is a blessing. Come on, say amen. But toiling is a curse. If you are not finding seasons of rest, a day of rest. We live in a culture that doesn't Sabbath anymore. I'm not talking about Sabbath under the law, meaning you must. I'm talking about resting, taking a day off, enjoying it, finding time for enjoyment. By working the way we're working and working 7 days a week and on and on and on it goes, what we are subtly saying to God is, you can't provide for me. I don't trust you. The kingdom system is far different, and we'll get into that as we get into giving and giving of finances. The kingdom of God says, give and it shall be given to you. I'll look after you, and I can multiply your finances if you understand that you'll take unrighteous mammon and you'll give it into the kingdom, and I will look after you more than you've ever dreamt or imagined. But you've got to understand how the kingdom of God works. And the system of toil is over because we live in and operate by the Spirit of the living God. Romans 8, those who are led of the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. We live by the Spirit. It's over. If that is how, let's go back to that because I got another point. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, it is better to have a little faith than no faith. So we can build upon something. Oh, you of little faith. Kingdom, point number 4, The kingdom operates by faith. By faith. Faith in the Word of God. Not just for salvation. The kingdom of God is voice activated. Confessing with their mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And too many times, we're activating a lot of negative things by our voice. But it's a faith system. It's a faith system. Let me go really quickly. We won't go there today. Luke chapter 5. Jesus is on the edge of the lake. Scads of people are there. All right? And he's going to teach them. He takes Peter's boat, and it's pushed out into the water. And he teaches from the boat. I want to believe that when Jesus got a hold of Peter's boat, it went from an earth curse system into the kingdom of God system. There was a change. Something happened. He teaches. Then he says, Peter, go out to the deep water and cast your nets. And Peter says, you don't get it, Lord. We've toiled, the scripture says. We've toiled all night long and caught nothing. And Jesus is going to teach him how to work in a kingdom system. He says, go out, throw your nets into the deep water. Peter goes, I'm thinking, whatever. Now, the King James Version says this, that he threw the net. He didn't throw nets, he threw the net, meaning, whatever, there's a net. And you know the rest of the story? The catch was so huge, the net almost broke as they were pulling it, the fish, into the boat. What was Jesus teaching him? He's teaching him the kingdom. And how does Jesus show us the kingdom? We walk by the Spirit. And he says, do this, do this, do this. Do you know that 85% of people hate their job? That's correct. 85% of people hate their job. Well, there's two problems here with that. Number one, maybe your attitude stinks. And you need a change of attitude towards your employer and your job. Maybe you've got a stinky attitude. Possibly. Or maybe you haven't lived by the kingdom and pursued the full will of God for your life. And maybe he's got a different place for you to fish. That is better, that is exactly what he built you to do, and is way better financially for you. Have you ever thought about that? We settle for what God doesn't want us to settle for, folks. Those are just points to ponder. Okay, and last but not least, and I have to close. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or drink? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Next verse. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. 33. But seek first the kingdom. Isn't that something? And his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. The word says given. That means you labor in the Spirit, you do what the kingdom says to do, you give of your finances, you just find it exciting to give, and you start where you're at, and all these things will be given to you because you're seeking first the kingdom of Jesus. Fifth and last point, kingdom principle, first things first. First things first. Sharon, would you come to the piano? First things first. What's that mean? Seek the kingdom of God. Teach your children to seek the kingdom. And their destiny that God has for them is already laid out. If you don't seek the kingdom, start seeking the kingdom. Study the kingdom. Study how it operates. Because in heaven, there is no sickness, no disease, no poverty, none of those things. Let's stand. There's none of those things in heaven. And you know, a lot of people get worried when we teach on the kingdom that it's here and it's within our hearts that, well, you're teaching kingdom theology. There was this thing many years ago that everything's going to get so good that we're just going to usher in the king. The fact of the matter is the world's getting darker, but the church is supposed to get brighter. We've got to understand this kingdom thinking and kingdom teaching that Jesus called us to. Trust him. He's got your life. seek the kingdom. Every head bowed. Father, today, if there's somebody here who isn't a part of the kingdom, they can become a part of the kingdom by confessing with their mouth, believing in their hearts that Jesus is Lord. But it's a recognition that sin has broken relationship with a holy God, but that God has provided for their sin through the cross, through Jesus. No one can toil, work to earn salvation. It's a free gift of God. If anyone is here and you say, Pastor Mark, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, would you lift your hand and we're going to have people pray with you this morning. Is there anyone here who want to come to Christ today? You want to live a different way? Thanks. I see that hand over here. Anyone else? Well, Lord, I pray for every person that is here. How many of you, just every head bowed, would confess that you've been worried about a situation? Honestly worried. Lift your hands. All right. It's time to get out of worry and start stepping into authority. Amen, church? So you're taking authority by your words over that situation, trusting what the word says about it, and standing on the word of God. Satan's system wants you to become unraveled in worry and fear. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So I can't do it for you. I can just teach you the principles. You're going to have to take these things and say, Father, is there something within me that's causing me to worry and not trust you? I want to discover how to live free of worry. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands for the blessing. Father, the blessing of the Lord is upon us. It's in us. The kingdom of God is in us. And Father, we're going to a new place in your word. We're understanding who we are, and we're not allowing the enemy to rob us of destiny any longer. We're not settling for second best. We're not settling for those things because, God, you have a great plan for us. You have a great plan for us. One of the things that just is crossing my mind is debt. I get debt. People are worried about debt. Father, your word says, owe no man anything except the continuing debt to love. And Father, you have a way for us to get out of debt. I'm speaking to myself. And we've seen many miracles this year in our own life with that, Father. And so, Father, I pray for freedom from worry over finances, that people will begin to live in the system, the economic system that you designed for us. And it's a system of blessing. I pray that nobody is under condemnation for their debt. But God, that you have a master plan to free the church from it. And so, Lord, I pray and I speak that over the people of God here in Jesus' name and bless them mightily. And we all said, Amen. Now, let's give Jesus a hand as we leave today. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, bless one another. Have an amazing week.